Create a moment. Loving God, thank you that your word is a living word that speaks to us now. May you open our hearts to hear what you long to say. Amen. What do I need to do to gain eternal life? That's the question that the man comes to Jesus with. And after a list of things to do, which the man says, but I've done those, Jesus' response, notice, he looks at him and loves him. It's a beautiful and quite unique little aside. But it really helps us to know that Jesus has looked at him and known him. He knows him fully. He knows his strengths, he knows his weaknesses. That man has been seen. And it means that Jesus sees the motivation behind the question, which then shapes how he goes on to answer it again. The very way that the question is shaped and asked, and the man's defensive response in that I've done all those things, shows Jesus what is in that man's heart. What do I need to do to gain eternal life? Although the man appears by all external measures to be a righteous man doing all the right things for God, those commandments haven't filtered through into a trusting and generous heart. His very question is a textbook, individualistic, control-focused question. What must I do to gain eternal life? How can I make it happen? Now, we're going to pause there for a while because I think it's worth pondering. Why are we here in church? Why are you here? Why do you follow God? Is it because you want to safeguard your future? You want to know that there will be eternal life for you? Because you want God's blessing on your life now? Or is it because you believe that God's good news for the world is good news for the world? That there is a better way of living, a better way to enter this life and live this life now. That's not a personal thing. That is a much more outward-looking thing. And I believe our modern society and Western individualism has completely skewed Jesus's good news. Because what we've done is we've made it something individual about us. It's down to us whether we choose to follow or not. It's down to us to accept God's grace and forgiveness in our lives. It's down to us to change and transform ourselves in order to follow Jesus. I believe this question from this young man that we have just heard today is a question that many a modern follower of Jesus is asking, even if it's subconscious and so unarticulated. What must I do to be right with God? And yet, let's think. When Jesus' disciples asked him to teach them to pray, what did Jesus say was the first thing to pray? He said, start with our Holy Father in heaven, praise be to you. Praise God. And then the first line is, your kingdom come. God's kingdom. It's all about that. Jesus' parables, a huge number of them, all about God's kingdom, the kingdom of heaven. Now, this kingdom of heaven is a whole earth thing. It's a renewing, a righting of creation. It's not an individual thing. This is a whole world thing that God is doing. And the awesome privilege that we have as human beings is that we've been invited to use our brains, our creativity, our hearts, our connectivity, our ingenuity to join in with God's mission to make this kingdom come in full. This is not about what I must do to be in a right place with God. This is about God's grace and how we together join in with what God is doing. Jesus looked at this man and loved him. He sees that in this man there is a self-centeredness. I don't mean selfishness or a greediness that we might associate with that word, but a centering on the self that is entirely contrary to Jesus's gospel message. That message is about relationship, about connection, about looking outwards. For this man, Jesus sees he's not yet ready to understand that communal aspect of God's way. His heart is too focused on his own actions and the benefits that he might accrue. What must I do for my sake? And then Jesus sees why and how he's in this position, this man. He sees that for this man, his riches are the stumbling block. They're the thing that causes him to be more inward-looking and self-centered. They prevent him from seeing this new thing that God is doing through Jesus that is more outward-looking. So Jesus tells him that he needs to free himself from that. He needs to sell it all, give to the poor, and then follow in the way of Jesus. This man needed to be freed from the pressures, the trappings, the liabilities of the material wealth that he had accumulated, because they were stopping him from being outward looking. I don't think that in this passage, Jesus is issuing a blanket rejection of wealth. We need to be really careful that we don't read this passage too generally. We need to see what is happening in this situation and why. For this man who Jesus saw and loved and therefore understood, for this man, what he needed to do was reorient himself. Reorient himself in an outward-looking way, freeing himself from his wealth and benefiting the poor with it. And what do we see in response? He turned away from Jesus and walked away sad. Did he ever enter the kingdom of heaven? We don't know. Was he sad because he couldn't do it and wasn't going to do it? Or was he sad because it was going to be really tough to do that? We don't know. But Jesus recognized that it was going to be hard. How hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God, he says. So what do we take? What do we now, in the present day, today, take from this passage? How does it guide us and help us into following Jesus? And I think there are two things. And I'm not going to say they're about giving away all our wealth. There are two other things that I want us to think about today and focus on. Firstly, we need to be aware of our own motivation for following God and coming to God. We need to truly understand our own faith in order to see where we're at. Are we coming to God for our own benefit? Is our faith still at that self-centered point that this man was at? As I say, we don't know what happened to this man. We don't know whether he did change, whether he moved beyond that self-centered look. But Jesus has said elsewhere, this is not the first time that Jesus has said, if you want to follow me, you need to let go of the things that are holding you back, pick up your cross and follow me. You need to deny yourself, pick up your cross and follow me. You need to let go of those things that are all about you and for you, and they might be hard, and follow me. That's where we need to get to on our journey with Jesus. Now, it may be that we are still at that self-oriented motivation, that point where we are coming to God for our own needs and our own reasons at the moment. That's not wrong. It's just Jesus is saying at some point, we need to move beyond that. We need to move, reorient ourselves to an outward looking, more community-based vision. It's one of the reasons that I believe God created the church, to put us together as communities so that in a very real and a very practical way, we are forced to look beyond ourselves because we need to work together as a group, as a community. So we're forced to work with people who are perhaps more challenging. We need to look beyond ourselves and our own needs and learn to live and worship and grow together. And then as a church, we look beyond our own needs and we look to the community. So that's the first thing to take from today. What are our motivations for following Jesus? And do we need to grow and reorient ourselves and move beyond those initial moments? And the second is looking at whether there is something in our lives, or indeed, at this point, I want to suggest our communal life, us as a church, that is holding us back, chaining us down, that we need to be freed from in order to follow Jesus more fully. For this man, he needed to be freed from his wealth that he had accumulated. It wasn't helping him, it was blocking him. But for us, what might that be? Now, as I say, I wanted to look at this as a communal thing, not just about us individually, but us as a church, as St. Philip's. We've been on a journey of discernment for the last 12 months. And earlier this year, we came to a place of believing that we could see, we could understand what God was doing amongst us as a church. And now we're at the point where we want to take that statement and we want to allow it to crystallize into a vision for us as St. Philip's. What is God calling us to do, have as our vision moving forward into this next season? If you don't remember the statement, I'm going to read it to you now because it's very interesting fitting in with today. So after our discerning year, we got to the point where we believe that God is setting us free to become a more Trinity-shaped community, both receiving and serving and holding all in brokenness and in joy. I'm going to say it again. We believe that God is setting us free to become a more Trinity-shaped community, both receiving and serving and holding all in brokenness and joy. I think it's really interesting that being freed, being set free, was a key phrase that came out of that discernment process. Out of a lot of time of prayer and reading of scripture and talking things through. That's a really bold statement. What on earth is keeping us captive? What do we need to be set free from? As a church, is it something physical like this young man had? Wealth or status or security? Or is it something more abstract? Is it a culture, a way of thinking? We certainly felt as we gathered in that discernment process that there was something holding us back from following Jesus in freedom. Something that we needed as a church to be freed from in order to flourish as God's church here in this place at this time. For the man who encountered Jesus in our Bible reading, Jesus saw that wealth had made him self-focused, and his faith was motivated by his own desire for eternal life. So in his challenge, Jesus told this man, he gave him the opportunity for freedom and an invitation to an other-centered life. I wonder what Jesus' challenge would be to us today. And we're going to take time now to explore that and try and hear it. So I'm going to invite all of us to come before Jesus now. If you want to run somewhere and throw yourself onto your knees, feel free. You may not want to do that. But you might actually want to get onto your knees. I don't know. Sometimes physically changing our body position helps us to get into another frame of mind. So if you are able to and want to kneel, feel free. But let's get ourselves ready to have a moment of honesty with God. And we're going to start just like this man. Sorry, if you want to move, please feel free to move. Just because I keep talking doesn't mean you can't move. We're going to start just by this man, like this man, by protesting our righteousness. He was saying, first of all, these are all the things I am doing. So let's be positive. In a moment of quiet, let's list to Jesus in our hearts all the things that we are doing as a church for God and for God's kingdom. What activities do we do for God? What activities or people do we support for God? What do we give to God? What resources are we using for God? And now I want to invite you to allow Jesus to look at us and love us and gently challenge us. What might be holding us back from blessing others more and from following Jesus more wholeheartedly and other-focusedly? Now we entered into that time in trust that God would speak to us. So I just invite you, if you had thoughts that came to your mind, something that was pressing on your heart, let's be open to that being God speaking to us. Please do talk to me afterwards. Tell me what you have felt or heard in that time. Or it might be something that grows over the service, not just in that moment, but as we continue on in worship, a sense that you're getting, something you just feel you need to say. Let's trust those as prompts of the Spirit. And together we can begin to discern God's voice in that. I'm just going to pray as I close. Loving and gracious and good God, thank you that you see us and love us. You know all about us. You particularly know those bits that we try to hide from others. And you still love us. Help us to trust you, to step out in courage and confidence, so that we can be freed from whatever holds us back from you and can follow you with all our heart and soul and mind and strength. Amen.